Hello, welcome. If this is your first time visiting this website, I just want to say welcome. On this website, there's a whole lot of sermons. If you're right here listening to this sermon right now, you can actually scroll down. I have over 500 sermons on this site. And then in archives, you can actually go to the archives, which is going to be on the homepage. And you can find more sermons there. I also try to post afternoon devotionals of Monday through Friday. So I encourage you to go to the website, check them out, read it, get encouragement throughout the week, right? Because we need that encouragement, right? We need to be in step with the Holy Spirit every day. Especially in this day and age that we're living in. When darkness is engulfing this world, we need to be in step, in tune with the Holy Spirit, and letting the Holy Spirit work through our life for the light to shine. And if you're His, you understand that. You look around and you see that. And you understand that there's a light source in you. It's not of yourself, right? It's of the Holy Spirit that burns in your loins to shine, to penetrate the darkness. And to reach those that are in need. I also have some Bible studies on here. Not many. But you're welcome to check those out. I have particularly the spiritual warfare. Typed up spiritual warfare Bible study. Probably need to make some edits to that. But because it's not really that organized. But go over there. Check it out. Use whatever you need to. Study God's word. Grow in His. Grow closer to Him, abide in Him, be a warrior for Him, right? Now, if you are new, my name's Jonathan Ritter. This is not my full-time job. I work a suckler job on Fort Polk as a maintenance technician. And the weekends, I preach on this website. I try to post a sermon every week. Don't always work out that way, because sometimes I'm preaching at a church, sometimes I'm teaching at a church, sometimes I'm at a conference, a home group. So Lord's moving, so I go where the Lord moves me to go. And I try to post sermons every week on here. It don't ever turn out, but once again, like I was saying, there's a ton of sermons on here. You check them out. You can start scrolling down and you can see a ton of sermons on prayer, salvation, spiritual warfare, detailed spiritual warfare, detail on prayers, about living and being a disciple for Jesus Christ. Ton of sermons. So check them all out. Don't charge for it. If you listen to something and it's like, wow, that's all God. I promise you, it's not Jonathan Ritter. He gets the glory. And if I say something that it is not, and I always say call me out on it, you can reach me through an email that's linked to this website. Also, I'm on Facebook, so you can send me a question if you hear something like, oh, I don't understand that, or I need more clarification. Please email me. Please Facebook me. Now, if you email me, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries. Crucify for Christ Ministries on there. So if it goes to spam, and I only check my spam once a month, I can able to respond to you. Probably the fastest way to reach out to me is Facebook, in a private message. I'm not on Twitter or Instagram that much, but I do have those. It's actually linked to this website, so you can go to my Instagram and my X or Twitter account too. I don't get on that often, maybe once a month. Just don't really have much time. I work 40 hours a week. Now I'm doing my private studying, my prayer, and then just seeking God's direction on what He wants me to preach. If it's via this website or at a church or at a conference or whatever I'm at or on the streets, Holy Spirit, I always ask, move in me to His will be done, not mine. So we're starting a preaching, teaching, whatever you kind of want to label this, sermon series. It's going to be in Psalms. Now, last week, or four, maybe 5 days ago, I did kind of a little quick intro, and basically it's just a combination of commentaries and on Psalms. And most of the times, you can, if you have a good study Bible, and I recommend a good study Bible, if you want more specifically on that, I could give you directions on that. But that has, you know, but a good study Bible will have basically that general breakdown that I, with the help of the Holy Spirit, went into. And then I did mention a few commentaries on there that I recommend, and some study Bibles on there that I recommend on that. So check that out. That's the intro to this preaching, teaching series in Psalms. 150 Psalms. So when it's all said and done, it's going to be over 150 hours of sermon teaching materials here when it's all said and done. What I'm doing is I have a separate tab for this, learning the Psalms. Learning the Psalms, if you're taking notes, just write that down. Learning the Psalms is, it's going to be a separate tab. And the reason I've done this is because on this general sermon, if we need to take a break, or if we're in middle of Psalms or something, and the Holy Spirit wants me to preach on another topic, I don't want that Psalm, like say we're on Psalm 5, right, and then that week God's telling me preach on salvation more specifically. That Psalm 5, I'll preach on salvation, then it'll be a salvation Psalm 5. But this tab, right, I'm going to move, like if we're in Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you can actually go to this tab and you'll see the intro. You'll see Psalm 1, if there's a breakdown in Psalm 1, Part 1, Psalm 1, Part 2, Psalms 2, Psalms 3. So you can actually go back and you can listen to the Psalms without having to scroll down and find it, so where it won't get lost. So learning the Psalms, that's the title of this sermon series, this teaching series. It's going to be a long one, so we'll be in Psalms for a few years. But the goal, my purpose, my prayer is that we find hope in these Psalms. And through this hope, we draw closer to our Lord Jesus Christ. In a time when life is getting harder for us, that is true children of God, true disciple of God, that we know this world we are living is not our home. And I pray that you know this old world that we're living. If you're a child of God, if you're a true disciple of Jesus Christ, you know this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And while we're here, we need to be reaching out to those that God has placed in our path to shine the light of the glorious gospel. We are light bearers in this dark world. Our light should shine regardless how this old world whoops us down. Satan may think he is winning, but he has already lost. Because all the pain, all the suffering we may have endured in this lifetime, that we will suffer, we will endure, will not compare to the joy and the peace we have one day in eternity with our Heavenly Father. Amen, right? So keep that in mind through the Psalms. That is one of the key purposes, that which is to draw closer to our Heavenly Father more than ever, because I believe as time draws closer to the coming of our Jesus Christ, as the darkness engulfs, it's not America, because if you look at America, we're in shambles. We are broken. And the enemy has infiltrated America for a while now. Some people think it just happened, but no. Probably before I was even born, he was highly active. Sometimes I even question if truly America was a nation truly under the God, the one that created heaven and the earth, the God who tells us to be holy, for he is holy. Were we ever truly that type of nation? Maybe. But the enemy has infiltrated us. And once that Pandora box has been opened, it will not be closed until the Heavenly Father breaks through that sky and truly establish His kingdom on earth. So we'll be in Psalms 1. This will probably be a part 2. Would be two parts here, part 1 and part 2. The name of Psalms 1, the title that I want to kind of want you to get the take home, the go home, you know, get this in your mind. When you think of Psalms 1, I want you to say, this is what this Psalms is about. This is the title, two ways, two paths, two directions. And this penetrating question I want to ask you, which one are you on? And I'm praying through this teaching, this preaching, that you, when it's all said and done, you can say, I know what way I am on. I know what path I am. I know what direction I am on. That's the question I want you to be able to answer when it's all said and done, when the smoke is cleared, that you understand the way that you're on, the path that you're on, and the direction that you're on. And I pray that direction and that path and that way point straight to our Heavenly Father, Lord of Lords and Kings of Kings, the one true God. Not the God of this world, which is blind, the minds that believe not, right? But the God who created the heaven and the earth. For the God, lowercase g, is Satan of this world. But God, the true God, Lord, capital G, God, Yahweh, Elohim, the one and true only God that calls us His true children, His true disciple, to walk in His way, His path, and His direction. So Psalms 1, we're going to read that. We're going to read the song in its entirety. We're going to pray, and then we're just going to get into this. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law do he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind driven away. Therefore the ungodly should not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord know the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God Almighty, as we go into this preaching and teaching series, use me as you need. Direct me as you see fit to those that may be listening to this series. Penetrate their heart. Open their eyes to what direction, to what path, to which way they may be home. Open their eyes if they're on the wrong way, or the wrong path, or the wrong direction. Correct them. Chasten them, scourge them if you must. Because it's all the Holy Spirit. Jonathan Ritter, all he does is reach into God's Word with the Holy Spirit and preach and teach what you've laid on my heart to preach and teach on. But I cannot save nobody. I cannot open their eyes. I only can be a messenger to give your Word, and then the Word will sit, and they will accept it or reject it. God, I pray the exception. They accept the word, the correction. The word is surgical. It cuts deep. that they see the error of their ways, not because of a man, but because of God Almighty is working in their life. God, as we go through this, give me the strength as I engage with the enemy through spiritual warfare, because he does not want this word to go out in this day and time. He hates men like me that just lean on the Holy Spirit and say, God, have your way. Your direction, your way, your path. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when we look at this psalm, the very first psalm in this book, and we really do not know who the physical author of this first psalm is, but traditionally this psalm is associated with David. And I share that view, but that doesn't make me right. We need to keep in mind the true author, though, of the Bible is God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given. It's given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is not a bad word. Beware of preachers that say, we don't preach doctrine. It's in the Bible. Doctrine is just teaching. Solid biblical teaching. They're saying, I don't believe in doctrine. They're saying, I don't believe in solid biblical preaching or teaching. So be aware of them. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. From Genesis to Revelation, all scripture, not just the New Testament, but also the Old Testament. Be careful when a church or an organization that does not teach through the Bible all the way through. They don't believe in the Old Testament. The Old Testament is scripture, just as the New Testament. If they make statements like the Old Testament is not as important as the New Testament, that should send you red flags. Because they're going against God's word. Because when 2 Timothy 3:16 says all, that's the entirety. That's all scripture. Pointing to Genesis, to all the way to Revelation. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men. When we say holy man, what are we talking about? We're talking about men of God here. Not on by their own means, but leaning themselves to the Holy Spirit, right? But holy man of God spoke as they moved. They were moved by what? By who, right? He, the Holy Ghost. Once again, I'll say from Genesis to Revelation, God moved on holy men of God as they spoke. And these words were put down in God's word for us to read. Be careful with those who believe they have a new word that trump God's word. Mark them as false. Correct them if they must. If they do not heed this correction, shake the dust off your shoes and move on. If you knew, you may not know this, and if you're listening, you've listened to these sermons throughout the year, you know, I am a man that's driven by God's word with the Holy Spirit burning in my loins. If you say something, I want you to show me in God's word where you can prove it. If you can't, then we're going to have problems. Yes, I love you, and I'm going to correct you in God's word, but God's word is surgical, and will make you mad when you're believing something that is counter to God's word. For our swords are supposed to be sharpened, not dull. In a time where corruption, the twisting of God's word is truly an epidemic in American churches. Those sitting behind the pulpit or standing behind the pulpit are saying things that don't connect with the Bible, and the audience is praising them, glorifying them. Because why? They glorify men than God. God is truth, right? God is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God, right? And John 10:10 tells us, Jesus said it to him, and he's speaking to Peter, of course, to us today. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, the life, right? No man, and that's us, anybody, comes unto the Father but by who? Me. That is Jesus Christ. There is no other way to come to God the Father except through that bridge that he gave in his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. No way we can be saved. There is no other way. There is no other truth. There is no other life except through Jesus Christ. One truth, right? And Jesus Christ, who's God, and God is working in David, to pen this first psalm, and the first song sparks his match to the rest of the psalms. A fire that we can attain from this first psalm will ignite us into the other psalms. There's a strength and desire to draw closer to the Lord and go closer with Him every day as we go into God's Word, especially as we go into the Psalms. We need to be drawing closer to Him as time draws closer to the coming. The darkness, it will increase and will increase, right? Lawlessness will increase. The love of many will increase. Those not heeding sound doctrine will increase. We, true men, true women of God, standing on truth, will be marginalized. We will be minimized. We will see as irrelevant, not important, old school. Oh, I'd rather be old school to the very end. I'd rather stand on God's truth, regardless of what it may cost me in this life. And I pray that you are the same way. And I pray that you find preachers and teachers and other brothers and sisters like that in Christ that has that night of fire burning in their loins. Beware of those that are lukewarm, neither hot or cold. For what will God do with the lukewarm believer? Well, I'll say lukewarm believer loosely. The lukewarm person. They may be a believer, they may not. I say if they're lukewarm, they're neither hot or cold, they're in the middle. I personally, and I know this can be controversial, I don't view them as children of God or disciples of God. I view them as agents of Satan. What does God do? He spews them. He vomits them out of his mouth. I want to tell you, when God vomits somebody out of his mouth, he don't bring the vomit back into his mouth. David here, starting out with two men in Psalms 1. The blessed man, the ungodly man. Now understand Hebrew words, right? I don't profess to be a Hebrew scholar or a Greek scholar. I read and I study. Thank God for online commentaries. Well, first, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's the ultimate teacher. As we pray, and I encourage you to do a good Bible study, is first lean on the Holy Spirit. Pray to Him. God, help me understand your word better. Help me. And you meditate, right? Day and night on that. And we won't get into the meditation part of that in this psalm today or this week. That will be probably next week or next week, Lord willing. And then when we do that and we're reading and we've got the word kind of in our hearts, right? God gives us all these resources, commentaries. And when you look at commentaries and you look at the base of the Hebrew word here, man, understand in that Hebrew, because man can mean multiple things within the Hebrew language. I'm not even going, once again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I do a lot of reading. I just want you to get this. This can mean man or woman, or you can say person. So, there is this blessed man or woman or person. Are you going to say this is a godly man, a godly woman, or a godly person? And we, on the counter of that, you can say there's an ungodly man, an ungodly woman, an ungodly person. With that in mind, when we look at Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man, remember, that could be a man, woman, or person, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, that first word that occurs here in this psalm is blessed. You may have heard of this word. You may have someone tell you, have a blessed day. Or you may have say, I am blessed, or I'm having a blessed day. A lot of times we can be using this word as the world uses this word. How does this world use that word when they say the word, you're blessed? They're using that to demonstrate their own will, their own power, instead of pointing to the source of true blessing, that is Jesus Christ. I am blessed because of Jesus Christ. Right? I am saved because of Jesus Christ. I'm truly blessed because He has pulled my soul from the grip of the enemy, the claw that was wrapped around my throat, choking the very life out of me. And Jesus Christ broke that claw. He broke that chain. I am blessed because of that. And yes, I am having a blessed day because of that. My day may be the worst when you look at everything may be falling apart. And the world would say, you're not truly blessed because it's not going your way. It's not going through your power. I'll say, it ain't by my power. It's not by my will. But it's to Jesus Christ in His power and His will. Now I press on. Regardless, everything is falling apart. He is my anchor. He is the hope that I hold securely to. And thank God for that. I can, that power that burns in me, the Holy Ghost, gives me opportunity to keep witnessing to those around. Even though I am having what this world would call a bad day, I am still blessed. Why? Because I know if I die today, if today was my last breath, I'm truly going home to my Heavenly Father. And for eternity, forever and ever, I will be living my best life then. This word bless sets up the rest of the psalm, right? Once again, I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I'm not going to go deep in Hebrew. We can start saying a lot of Hebrew words. I get it. Most people don't read Hebrew language and they don't, you know, study like that. And I get that. It can get overwhelming. I encourage you to, you know, look at, you know, take a word a day and look at the Hebrew meaning of it. Don't get overwhelmed. Take a word a day. Write it down. Do a little study on it. You'll be blessed, truly blessed, because why? The source of Jesus Christ burning your loins will bless you truly. I don't mean blessed as in prosperity. As the prosperity gospel tells you, you will have those nice material things in this life. You will have that nice home. You will have that nice house, car, vehicle, whatever you want to look at it. No, you're blessed because you know in the end, when it's all said and done, you get to go home to your true home. And you'll be united with those that went before you. You'll be united with people like David, Just think about meeting David in heaven. You will, if you truly are his. Think about meeting Ruth and Esther, Moses and Noah, Peter and Paul. Of course, Jesus Christ, right? That is truly being blessed. When we look at the Hebrew word here, blessed, in this Psalm 1, the Hebrew is Esther. Esther carries this ideal of happiness or contentment. Believe it or not, Matthew 5, 3 through 12, when Jesus Christ is using the word blessed, even in this Greek form, it means happy in the passage of Matthew 5, 3 through 12. Listen to me as I read. This is what Jesus means when he says you're blessed. Matthew 5, 3 through 12 says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4 says, blessed are they that mourn, for what will happen, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5 says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be what? Filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall attain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for there is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my name, for my sake. Some translation has my name's sake. Verse 12, that last verse here says, rejoice. After all of this, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecute they the prophets which were before you. When Jesus Christ is speaking of being blessed, what he's speaking about here, he's a happy. Happy when you're being persecuted for his name. Happy you should be when people are reviling you and speaking all manners against you for his name. Can we truly say we are blessed when we're being... Now, America is not truly persecuted, yet it will be coming. People just think they're being persecuted. They haven't seen nothing yet. Oh, Jonathan, I just got depressed. Well, go over there and flip to Joy Osteen, that false prophet, that false preacher that speaks garbage from his mouth, and let him comfort you in your depths of hell. You think when things get bad, truly bad in America, when the Antichrist shows up and literally all hell breaks loose on earth, truly hell. This man, if he doesn't repent and turn from his wicked ways, I don't see no repentance in his way. Maybe God will reach into his heart and change it. I pray it does. If not, he will line right up with the mark of the beast. Oh, Jonathan Ritter, we will not be here. I want to tell you, all in loving and kindness, that lie that's been infiltrated, one of many in America, that we will be rapture before the Antichrist shows up. We will be rapture out here when true persecution, us being imprisoned. I don't profess to be a prophet. Call me what you must. I will not. God can use me in any capacity. I accept that right. And we all should. God, use me, God. Wherever capacity you can use me in, I will do it. But I don't profess to be a prophet. just a student of God's word, truly a student of God's word. I believe truly if somebody is studying God's word and deep down hours and hours a day, I say this many times and it doesn't rub people the right way because they're not doing it. If you work an 8-hour shift at work, you should be spending 8 hours with Jesus Christ every day. You don't hear many preachers saying that because why? The preachers are not doing this. They're not going to preach that. I truly try to preach, practice what I preach. Although I don't meet it every day, I try my best to be in God's word as much as I spend at work. If you want to look at it, if you work 40 hours a week, you should be giving God at least 40 hours a week. Well, why are you being a Pharisee or Sadducee? No! If you love God's word, it will take precedent in your life. Work 8 hours, 10 hours at work, come home, spend 2 hours in God's word or prayer, and that's all you do. And most people are not even doing that today. How do you know that? I don't know that, but God does. He sees in your windows or in He sees beyond your walls. I can't see beyond your walls. I can't see what you're doing. I can't see your prayer life. I can't see your studying God's word, but God does. You may deceive this old preacher. You may think, yeah, he just don't know. I ain't the one that you should fear. You should fear God because God sees and He does not approve. And God's word is very clear. He is a jealous God. And when you're putting everything before Him, guess what that's called? Idolatry. And He says, I am a jealous God. And it's fearful to, right, to get in the hands of a God. You give lip service, but you do something totally different. I truly believe this is it's happening tremendously in America. People so busy with everything else, but then they pretend to be something they're not. Listen, when I stand before God, I will not stand in your place. You will. And your deceitful nature about you will be judged. Yeah, God will judge you. And you probably ain't going to like the sentence that would be pronounced on your life. Well, I go to church every Sunday. Well, good for you. How's your Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday checking out for you? Surgical. Probably why I'm not too popular, because God wants us to call this out. If we want a true revival, we need to be a true revival turning to God's word. Beware of those preachers that go up there and they don't want to center on God's word, and they do these stories more than God's word. Beware of these. They're trying to be popular. Be cautious of them. We should be centering on God's word. I love illustrations. I love stories. But they don't take over God's word. There should be more than one scripture used in a sermon. Blows my mind how they use one scripture and that's it. But happy, right? Matthew 5:3-12. Just listen to those last two verses, or actually 10 and 11. It said, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for there is the kingdom of God. You're blessed when you're being persecuted. Blessed are ye, or blessed are you, when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manners of evil against you falsely for my sake, for Jesus Christ's sake. And he says what? 12. Rejoice and be seen glad, and great is your reward in heaven. Why? Because this world is not our home. For so persecute the prophets which were before you. The ones, true prophets, saying, thus said God's word, here it is, get right or go home. That message that does not want to be preached in majority of American pulpits today. Get your right life right with Jesus. And this is how you do it. Look at God's word. You don't have to be confused. But blessed are we that truly looking for this way, for His path, His direction, right? Psalm 1, Matthew 5, 3-12, God's word telling us that person that walks different, basically different, right, from this world is a blessed person. Even more specific, when you look at that word, Esther is a form from the Hebrew word Esther. That's A-S-H-A-R. And that root word means to be straight, to be right. So this man or woman is happy. And this man or woman is content because he or she is seeking what? To walk in a straight path. They want to be different from this world. They don't want to walk with this world. They're on this straight path, right? They're on this right way. They're going in the right direction. And when that person is going that right way, they're going on the right path, and they're going on the right direction, they are blessed. That blessed, right? That that's godly, that godly blessed person. He or she is happy. He or she is content. And when they are, what do? They not seek the counsel of the ungodly, nor they stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. That person is blessed. They are happy. Because they do not seek the counsel of the ungodly. Today, there seems to be confusion on that word, ungodly. Let me ask you, if I am having a conversation with a person, and I'm speaking with filthiness, words coming unholy from my mouth, F-bombs, GD-bombs, all the cuss words that you can imagine, would you call me a godly man or an ungodly man? I hope and pray that you would call me ungodly. I hope you would call me out on this garbage. Jonathan, you're supposed to be a man of God. Why is this filth coming from your mouth? I should be okay with that correction, because this is godly correction. This is godly counsel. For I am with the crowds, right? Say if I'm with a crowd or person and I'm objectifying a woman and I'm looking at her and saying all words are sexually degrading to her, one of God's creatures, right? You heard me. If you're a man out there, you know what I'm talking about. Would you call me a godly man or an ungodly man? Once again, I hope you would call me an ungodly man. Correct me. I should take that correction. That's godly correction. That's godly counsel. But if you're not seeing anything wrong with this filth coming out of my mouth, from the cursing to the sexual comments, and you won't call me a godly man, then I want to say you're ungodly yourself. And any counsel that you may give me from your mouth, encouraging my language and my behavior as okay, is ungodly counsel. And if I accept that ungodly counsel, guess what? I am walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I want to tell you, many are walking in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't care how faithful a churchgoer you are. You go church every Sunday morning and night, maybe a faithful visitor of the Wednesday night service. Going to church does not make you a Christian. As driving down the road above the speed limit makes you a race car driver. To travel a path that is straight and pleasing to God with His strength points to the inward work down in your life, right? You seek His way. You seek His path. You seek His direction. When we do this, we are His. because we not seek to walk in line with this world, but counter to that position, opposite to that position. Too many blending into this world and says, hey, I am a Christian. But they're doing all this filth in their life. Because why? They would say God is okay with that. No, you are a part of the ungodly. If you die this way, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, but you will inherit the kingdom of darkness. Hell. Oh, wake up. My blind friend, if you're that way, for the flames of delight, the screams of help, the eternal flames of hell will be your reward. You don't have to keep on this path. You can turn from this ungodliness. You can seek the straight path of this blessed and godly man or woman. One Bible commentary puts ungodliness as this. The ungodly are those separate from God. Ungodliness is a condition of being polluted with sin. To be ungodly is to act in a way that is contrary to the nature of God. To actively oppose God in disobedience. To have irrelevant discard for God. Separation. So one aspect is to guard our mouth, right? That little tongue that can get us in trouble. I speak from personal experience. James 3:8 says, but the tongue can no man tame, is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. This is why I believe God gives us two ears, two eyes, but one mouth. We should listen more, watch more before our little tongue starts to rattle its deadly poison. I was trained. Was going at this time, if I would have stayed on that wrong path, that wrong way, that wrong direction that leads to destruction, I would be a psychologist by now. And I remember my training in my master's program is to listen more, speak less. I want to tell you, people will tell you more than you want to know if you just ask them about themselves. But you can get a glimpse in their hearts and take that with God's word. You will be able to discern that person's spirit with God's help. So this ungodly counsel, right? Can be discerned from godly counsel. And we should seek godly counsel versus ungodly. And one is to correct us when filth's coming out of our mouth. Ephesians 4:29 tells us, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Right? But, a counter, right? But that which is good, Paul's telling the Ephesians and telling us today, there's a counter here. Let no corrupt, meaning filth communication, proceeds out of your mouth. He's telling you, this is not the way of the righteous. This is not the way a child of God, a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus Christ should operate. But how should we operate? But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto hearers. Let me ask you, does your communication communicate grace unto the hearers? This is not compromising grace that we see into many churches. This is a grace that points to the cross and points to our sin. By the grace of God, I should be burning in hell. I should be 6 feet under screaming for help. But God came and rescued me. That right there, in a world that is polluted with filth, that have infiltrated majority of churches here in America don't preach very well. Paul goes on in Galatians 5, 16 to 25. He says this, "For I say then, walk in the what? In the Spirit, my friend." Right? Walk in the Spirit. "And you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary. Different, right? For one another. So that ye cannot do the things ye would." There is a, as a child of God, as a true disciple, we should not be seeking to walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Listen again, "For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, and ye cannot do the things that ye would. If ye led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past," meaning Paul preached numerous times on this, "that they which do such things shall" what? Does it say they shall inherit? No, he said they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit. I did a series sermon on each of these sins one time a few years ago. Basically, it was, I forgot how many parts, but you're breaking it down. I'm not going to break all this down, but I just want to point here to idolatry. Putting things before God. Making everything else a priority. Right? Making everything a priority. Then, God, look at your life. Look how much time you spend in God's Word. Look how much time you spend in God's presence, prayer, fellowship. There's your treasures lie. There's your heart truly desire. And then Paul tells us, but another contrary here to say, this is the flesh, right? This is sin, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Now remember, love is not what this world defines as love. I preached numerous sermons on that. The distortion of love here in the Greek is agape. It's unconditional, as our English language just failed trying to break down the Greek here. But it's a love that's uncompromising. It's a love that points to God's truth. When I, and let me use an example. When I tell you, James, right? 3:8. Or actually, let's do Ephesians 4:29. "Let not corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." When I tell you that, and I'm correcting you that, that's love. Let me immediately tell you, the world will not view that as love. And many churches today in America will not view that as love. They will say, "You're being judgmental." No, I am being loved, being loving according to God's Scripture. Understand there is a distortion of God's word, and particularly that word love. "Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law." And 24 says, "And they," actually, I'll read all the way down. "And they that are Christ," what has what? "They have crucified the flesh and the afflictions and lusts." That crucifixion is painful. Now, the Passion of the Christ, a lot of controversial thoughts on the Passion of the Christ. I get that. But to me, the crucifixion shown in that movie I struggle to watch it. I try to watch it every year. I get the controversial and stuff in it. But when you look at the crucifixion and just in itself, even Mel Gibson, which I don't encourage Mel Gibson stuff, his movies, man, he's God, and most of the stuff he stars in is just filth. Because I used to be a big Mel Gibson fan back in when I was living the way of this world. But God did use him. I personally believe God used him in that film. And I believe through that film, God used him to show the graphicness of the crucifixion. But even in his own words, say he had, they had to cut back on truly the horrific nature of crucifixion. So when I say all that, because when Paul's telling us in verse 24 that they that are Christ has crucified the flesh, he's telling you this is painful. But we must do it. Verse 25 says that we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be of desire of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. We should walk in the Spirit. We should not seek the ungodly counsel, meaning those that are encouraging adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, and the list goes on and on. Other parts you could talk about being a thief and a liar. Homosexuality. Those are being supported. And they're being supported within the name of Jesus Christ. And that will grow more and more for it's all said and done. But we must stand on truth, right? For we are blessed. And when we stand against that movement, we stay in the true way, the true path, the true direction. We will suffer. But what does Jesus tell us? Blessed are we. So you're blessed. Throw me in prison, beat me, kill me. I am blessed. Contrary to what many people would say, that you're blessed. See, when we seek godly counsel and we move away from ungodly counsel, we are going the right way. We are going the right path. We are going the right direction. But when we don't seek that godly counsel and we want to notice this progression in verse 1. That blessed is that man, that person, that woman that walk not in the counsel. That we are blessed. But those that walk in the counsel of the ungodly, what happens? This is a progression. Note here. First they walk. Then they stand. Then what? They sit in the seat of the scornful. David's clearly pointing through the help of the Holy Spirit here. Pointing to this is not the right direction. This is not the right path. This is not the right way. He's saying this is there's an ungodly way. There's an ungodly path. There's an ungodly direction. But this blessed person will not even seek the counsel to walk. See that progression? When we start walking in the counsel of the godly, they start sounding good to our ears. We are no longer blessed, but we are now ungodly in our nature. I truly believe if you are a child of God and you have the Holy Spirit burning in your loins, you will understand that is not right counsel. You will understand the way that that ungodly man or woman is in, their way, their path and direction is leading to destruction. We do not, true children of God, true disciples, do not seek to walk in the ungodly counsel. We don't seek to stand or sit with him. Guess what? And when we do that, guess what? Our light. One or two things. They will flee us like a cockroach. You know, if you've got cockroach, I encourage you, if you have cockroach, put some traps out. They're nasty. But you turn the light on, what happens? They flee from the light. So they will flee, or they truly want redemption to hear the glorious gospel, the true light. They will come and they will seek true godly counsel. And when we give them godly counsel pointing to Scripture, they will repent and they will turn from their ungodly ways. May we influence them, and they should never influence us. Two ways, two directions, two paths, right? The godly way, the godly path, the godly direction. There's the ungodly way, the ungodly path, the ungodly direction. You get where I'm going, you get this kind of theme that's going on. Two ways, two paths, two directions. Get that. Write it down. If you don't remember anything else through this long sermon that I'm giving, I knew this was going to be long. That's why I split it up. Maybe we might not have a part three. We'll see. Jesus Christ, the best teacher, the best preacher, the best counsel, the best everything, puts us in this way in Matthew 7, 13 to 14. It says, enter you at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to what? Life? No, to destruction. And many there. Jesus says, many there be with go thereat. Meaning many will go this way, this direction, this path. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leads into life, and few there will find it. There is a counter here. That verse 13 is pointing to this straight gate, this wide gate, this broad way. And this broad way, this gate, that is, many will go through, will lead to destruction, that will lead to everlasting damnation. He said, many will go there. Why? And he says, they will go there, and they will, in verse 14, because he's saying they will go that way, because this other way, this other path, this other direction is narrow, and they will not want to go down this way. But this way will lead to life, and few, he says, few there will find it. This tells me not as many people are going to heaven as these popular evangelists want to spout that garbage from their mouth. Every head bow, every things God never said to do. They bring man tradition into it. They bring the Billy Graham dogma into it. Don't mean wrong. Billy Graham did good things. But he should have been called out on many things. Too many spineless preachers and pastors should have corrected him. But every head bow and every eyes closed. Show me in God's word where he tells us to do that. Two ways, right? Not three, not four, not five. Only two ways, two paths, two directions. One path leads, right, to destruction, the other to life, eternal life. Only one way to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ is fully God, fully man. I don't know truly how that really works. If we're honest with ourselves, I don't care how many PhDs you got before your name, you truly cannot explain this, because God is infinite. He's beyond us. More intelligent than any of us. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, tells us, right, two ways, two paths, two directions. One is broad, leads to destruction, everlasting damnation, hell, where one soul will be tormented day and night for the rest of their life, while the narrow way that will lead to life, eternal life, the life, everlasting life. This is referring to heaven, where we will truly be living our best life with no more pain and no more sorrow. But the reality of this, the mindset of most Americans, I believe most professing to know Jesus Christ, of the Bible, they believe they can have it both ways. Right? We have a saying, you may heard it. You can't have your ice cream and cake at the same time. They believe they can live like the devil on this earth with sin as a normal way of life and still get heaven. Most preachers and teachers teaching this garbage. And they're the most popular, most wealthy preachers and teachers, if you want to call them that. From Joel Osteen to Steve Furtick, and the list goes on and on. It will get worse. I believe this will be part of the one world religion. And men like me and others are still alive will experience persecution from these guys and their followers who profess to know Jesus Christ, but they are really serving the God of this world, Satan. Jesus Christ tells us you can't serve two masters right. You will hate one, you will love the other. We may think we're straddling the fence, but in reality, you are on one side or the other. If you're straddling that fence, I personally believe that God's word shows that you are lukewarm. You're not His. Some people will get controversial in that statement and say, how do you know that's the thing of God? Yes, that's the thing of God, but He tells us. Revelation. Lukewarm, hot or cold, He will spew them out of His mouth. Some want to try to explain that away. That's not a rejection. But I'll tell you, if you ever vomit, been sick, right? When you vomit, do you try to take that and shove it back in your mouth? No, you flush it. You clean it up. You get rid of it. And we're dealing, there is revelation to me that's the end game, when the line is drawn in the sand, when God truly separates the sheep from the goat, and I say sheep and goat, the true His and truly not His. A lot of people professing to know Him that truly don't know Him. And the point of this is, as we're closing this out, that you truly know the God of the Bible, the Creator of this world. Two ways, two paths, two directions. Which one are you on? Lord willing, we'll be on part two next week. But I want you to think of this. What path are you on? Can you truly say, I am a blessed man or a blessed woman? I am content and happy walking in a godly straight path that God has laid out for me. One commentary puts it this way. I'm going to leave you with this. Every person must ask the soul-searching question. What path in life am I traveling? Have I entered through the narrow gate that leads to the path of the godly? Or am I traveling the broad road that is headed to destruction? These are important diagnostic questions that each person must ask himself or herself, answering carefully and accurately. If you say you are walking the path of the righteous, this brings us to another series of questions to determine the genuineness of your faith. Is there clear evidence of transformed life that is authenticated such a claim? Are you experiencing the blessings of God's favor? Are you living a separate life distinct from the beliefs and the behaviors of the ungodly? Have you made the break from the world? Is your light in the law of the Lord? And we will get into the light of the law of the Lord next week, among other things. And these are healthy questions that you should ask yourself. I encourage you, write them down. Do your own Bible study. Examine yourself. Especially as we go through this teaching and preaching series of Psalms. Write these questions down. Have a notebook write by as we go through this and just write down things. And I encourage you to go and do your own Bible study. Do your own study. Reflect on your way, the way that you're on. Reflect on the path that you're on. Reflect on the direction that your life is in or you're doing. If your life is a reflection of the Holy Spirit working in your life, right? You can say, I seek not to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And we went to talking about the ungodly. Remember that quote I gave about ungodliness? Let me read that again so it can reflect what ungodly is. The ungodly are those separate from God, meaning they are not part of God. They are unholy. The ungodliness is a condition of being polluted with sin. To be ungodly is to act in a way that is contrary to the nature of God, to actively oppose God in disobedience, or to have irrelevant discard for God. This is ungodly. Meaning our life, right? How are we living our life? Remember talking about the tongue, James 3:8, about our communication, right? Ephesians 4:29, walking in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16 through 25. Go back to these verses, get into them, study them, show yourself ashore. Because I'm about God's Word. I don't profess to be the most elegant speaker or talker. All I want to do is point to God's Word. If you can use me in any capacity, I accept it. And my goal is to point you to God's Word. Most pulpits are not doing that. I listen to many sermons throughout the week, and sometimes I listen to those I know they're not preaching the truth, and it breaks my heart. And then you hear their crowds, thousands, amening that. They will not endure sound doctrine. We're in that state, and it will get worse. And ask yourself, are you on that straight gate? That wide is the gate, right? The straight gate, this wide gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. Are you on that? Or you can say, am I that many? Or can you say, I am on that straight gate, that narrow way that leads unto life, everlasting life, and few will find it? You can do that by asking yourself these questions, right? What's your genuineness of your faith? Is there evidence of transformation of life that authenticates such a claim? Are you experiencing the blessings of God's favor? And remember, we talked about blessedness. Went through that whole word. Bless. Esther. And Estor. Or star. Straight. Not distortion of this world's definition of bless. Now, are you living a separate life distinct from the beliefs and behaviors of the ungodly? And we went through that just again. Have you made a break from the world? Is there light in the law of the Lord? And we will go into that next week, Lord willing. But I want to ask you today, can you say, I am blessed, I am happy, I am a content man or woman? He's on a different way, a different path, a different direction from the ungodly. I am on that straight and narrow path, and every day I seek God to guide me and direct me. I pray when I get up in the morning or whenever I get up for work, before I even go out those doors, I pray, Lord, use me, guide me, direct me. Help me live a crucified life for you. We should die daily, my friend. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity just to get into your word. Lord, I pray those that may come across this sermon, Lord, I pray over their life right now. I know the things that you had me say are not pleasing. If some people could see me where I'm doing this, I have tears that roll through my eyes sometimes just preaching on this because this is hard. And I would love to preach motivated sermons. But, and you give me an opportunity every once in a while to do that. And those are a lot easier to preach than stuff like this. This material that you've given me. Because I already know how it's going to be perceived. And I know how I will be perceived. Even though it hurts the flesh to say these things, because that's the human nature, to say things pleasing to people's ears, the things that you know, because you have given me an ear, a pulse of this world through the studying of your word. Nothing special about me. We can all have that pulse when we saturate ourselves in God's word. When we seek you in prayer for hours and hours a day, praying for your direction, your guidance. Give me the words to say. Help me crucify this old flesh, because you know Jonathan Ritter. You know the man I am. This daily crucifying of that flesh to be more like you and less like myself. To help me walk in the Spirit daily. To seek your counsel daily and your correction when I sin against thee. Lord, I pray those that are hearing this message, they just reflect on the current way they're in, the current path they are taking, and the direction that they're moving in. If it's counter to your word, God, I pray, Lord, you rattle them, you shake them. Do what you must do in their life. If you have to crumble everything around them till there is nothing left, Lord, I pray in your name, you take everything away until there is nothing left, until they're looking up to the one that truly, truly, what it should all be about, this life. This life is short. This life is brief. It's a dot into eternity. We take nothing other than our soul when we die. And that soul will belong to you or Satan. It all depends on what we have truly given our life over to. And God, you know that. You see the hearts of everyone. You know who is hiding, pretending to be something they're not. And that right there just, oh man, the fear of God just rattles me. Because I will not stand in their place one day. When they have lived a life contrary to your word. They may have professed to know you all their life, but secretly they deny you in their life by the way they talk and the way they behave. You will deny them. As Paul said in Galatians, not inherit the kingdom of God. As Jesus said in Matthew, few and many people want to take those words and just black marker them out. But it's your word, and we speak it. And we cry over those many that will take that easy path, that easy direction, that easy way. We cry out to you, Lord. And we know you will do what you need to. But many will reject you because the sin, the ungodliness, is too pleasing. Satan has his hands on their throat. And I know you can break it, but they have to want it. They have truly want deliverance. Truly to walk out of that darkness into the light. And if you use us in that process of reaching in somebody's life, you get the glory, you get honor, you get the praise. We pray in your holy name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. This is part one of Psalms 1. Once again, I'm going to post this sermon here, and then I'm going to post it in Learning the Psalms. So when we're going through these Psalms, it's going to be a long process. We only got through verse 1. But next week, we should get through a whole lot more. Verse 1, to me, is a starting point. It's a spark. And take good notes of this Psalm 1, because when you get a foundation of Psalm 1, it will set up the rest of the Psalms. So I encourage you to take notes, to write down things, write down these quotes, write down the Psalm 1, the title, Two Ways, Two Paths, Two Directions, and Part 1. And of course, these sermons are up as long as we have internet. Maybe one day internet will go bye-bye and then you won't have them. Encourage you to utilize as much as you can. I'll also put this in the Learning the Psalms, so if we're going through the Psalms and the Lord wants me to preach on something different for a few weeks or so, we'll take a break, but you can go to the Learning the Psalms, right? And I'll keep referencing to that tab, and you can go back and click on that tab. You can listen to Psalms 1, Part 1, Psalms 2, Part 2. If we do a third part, and then Psalm 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way eventually to 150 Psalms, which are a lot. And I believe as we go through this, if you truly go on this journey with me and you're truly seeking God and going back through these and looking at the scripture, you will start drawing closer to God. And what's going to happen, I truly believe, is you're going to start abiding more in Christ. And when times, and we are coming on some hard times, guys, harder times than what we were going through right now. The end times, which I've been working on a series on Revelation for a long time. Maybe one day I'll preach through it. There's a lot of other preachers that preach through it. A ton of preachers that preach through Revelation. So I always ponder, is it really worth me preaching through it? When there's a lot of other people that preach through it and that are really probably a whole lot better than I am preaching through it. So it's kind of not been wanting to preach through it because of that. Maybe one day I might. But any questions that you guys might have about Revelation, once again, can reach out to me through this website, email. If you email me, just make sure you put Crucify for Christ Ministries on there. So I'll know if it goes to spam. Quick way is Facebook, PM me, private message me that way. Any questions, I get that the fastest. You can Twitter, X, or Instagram. And some of you guys have my personal phone number. So you text me, and some of you guys, I got several that do text me when you have questions. And I do my best to try to answer your questions as effective as I can. Not meaning I'm 100%, on everything, because only God is, and I am a man. I can make mistakes, but I try to point to scripture as much as I can. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your morning, if you're listening this morning, night, or weekend, or week, you have a good one. Bye.